it's definitely it's gonna be different with Chad. I mean, just because he's that veteran guy that was kind of out there on the field. But I mean, we have a lot of trust in these young guys to come in and step in and make plays. I mean, they've done a good job of picking up stuff fast. And so we're going to keep bringing them along, keep letting them learn. And, I mean, Chad will still be there in the room to help out with as far as game planning goes and everything like that.
Patrick Mahomes talking about his backup quarterback situation. God forbid something happens to Mahomes. Hopefully the Chiefs don't have to use a backup quarterback. And if they do, they're way ahead in the fourth quarter. But Chad Henne's out with a broken ankle. A little bit of surprising news yesterday. And Chiefs didn't waste any time. They do not trust Kyle Shermer or Chase Litton to be the backup quarterback. They're too young and not ready, which I would agree with. Pick up Matt Moore. Odd story here, but a few years ago when the Chiefs were trying to figure out who their backup quarterback would be, it came down to Matt Moore and Chad Henne. And the Chiefs ended up, Matt Moore pulled out of the race, and so Chad Henne was their guy. Now Matt Moore gets his chance with the Chiefs if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt, banged up, whatever the case may be. So Matt Moore is your new backup quarterback, has a lot of weapons to work with if he does get on the field. And also Breland Speaks is out with the injury, surgery to his knee, meniscus sprain, MCL sprain. And so he's out. So a couple injuries for the Chiefs to worry about, but they shouldn't have to worry about too many coming up Thursday because they probably won't play any guys of considerable contributorship for 2019 except maybe some backups. And Steve Spagnuolo talked about the Breland Speaks injury.
That'll change it a little bit. But Emmanuel's been, you know, he battled an injury early. He's fighting his way back. The other three guys have done a nice job. We just need to get some reps underneath everybody's belt, and away we go. But we'll have to make up for it somehow. I think initially, you know, it was a little bit different, but I think he was comfortable in it. I think he'd tell you that. I thought he was doing a really good job on first and second down, and then we started to move him inside on third down, which I think is a little natural for him in a passing situation. So we were hopeful there. Unfortunately, it'll be a little bit different now, but I'm hopeful for him that he bounces back.
Chiefs have depth on the defensive line, so Breland Speaks' injury, a bit of a blow, but not something they can't overcome. Spagnuolo also talks about the limited action in preseason for free agent acquisition Tyrann Mathieu.
Well, the speed of the game is different than practice, there's no question. But look, T's been playing football in this league for a while now. I don't think that'll be a real big adjustment for him. More than anything, that, you know, the chemistry you're looking for in the first group, we haven't had it. I mean, there was a period there, you know, when I know Frank didn't play in a couple games and Chris Jones we took out early. So the group in a competitive game situation hadn't had the chemistry a lot, and we missed that with Ty not being in there. So we'll have to rely on these practice reps, and I think it'll be a smooth transition for us.
And what about that third preseason game, Chiefs falling to the 49ers 27-17? What was Spags' thoughts?
I never feel like I've seen enough. I always feel like we need 100 more reps, but that's not the way it is. And you know, when we went into the game this past Saturday, I was really looking to see if we could get in an adverse situation and fight out of it. So the very first drive, we were a little disappointed that we had the penalty on 3rd and 7. It gave them a first down, and then they kind of got, you know, San Francisco got going a little bit. But I was happy with the way we rallied on the 4th and 1. So that was positive. I wasn't overall, we weren't as a group overall happy with the run defense. I thought it was leaky. I mean, there weren't a lot of big ones that busted out. There was one 13-yard one on a 3rd and 1 that I thought we should have stopped. So all in all, I think we still have a little bit of work to do. We got a short amount of time to do it. But I trust the guys will be focused in, certainly getting through this fourth preseason game and into the opener.
And that fourth preseason game will be Thursday, Chiefs at Green Bay. Pregame at 6 o'clock, kickoff 7 o'clock. On your home for the Chiefs, North Central Kansas City, 96.3 The Lake. So that's the defensive side of the ball. We begin with the fact that Chad Henne is out with a broken ankle, Matt Moore's new backup quarterback. And here's Eric Bieniemy on the Henne situation.
Unfortunately, injuries happen, but one thing I do know, our medical staff and our head coach and personnel, they're going to make the best decisions for us moving forward. You never want to see anyone get hurt in this industry. But one thing we understand, hey, we got two young guys. We got to get them up and coming, and they got to go play. I will say this. These guys have done a heck of a job since they've been here. Coach Kafka does a great job with them. We all sit in that room together. They've made the most of every opportunity. You've seen some good, you've seen some bad. But one thing I would say about both those guys, those two kids are very, very competitive, and they want to be on the NFL roster.
Yeah. One of them will be, for sure. They'll have a third-string quarterback. I don't know about the other, maybe practice squad, but now Matt Moore is part of the team as the backup quarterback. And Dustin, I talked yesterday on the show about running back situation, how many running backs the Chiefs might keep. Eric Bieniemy addressing that.
Well, I don't have that answer. I mean, if it was up to me, I probably had 22 of them, you know. But unfortunately, I don't get to make that decision. But our GM, Veach, his staff, coach, they'll make those decisions and decide what is best for the Kansas City Chiefs organization moving forward. I mean, whatever number they decide, we roll at the end of the day.
That's right. So that's the running back situation. Really nothing new to report. But Bieniemy, of course, loves his running backs, as he would. He was an NFL running back and a great college running back at the University of Colorado. So that's your Chiefs report, in essence, for today as the Chiefs get ready for the final preseason game on Thursday. Start the season on Sunday, September 8th in Jacksonville, take on former Chief Nick Foles, who is the starting quarterback for the Jaguars, who came over as a free agent acquisition or trade, whatever it was, with the Philadelphia Eagles. So that's your Chiefs update for today. All right, local sports. We are starting to talk to some coaches in the area, and Dusty had a chance to catch up with one.
Yes, Lakeside Lady Knight Volleyball Coach Michelle Brummett, and we were able to chat with her a little bit. She, coming into the season, has just 12 girls out and does have a little bit of experience, though, from last year. They went 15-16, but she's liking what she's seeing as far as that experience is concerned, and then she kind of discusses a little bit of what it's like to just have the 12 girls out right now.
12 is a very manageable number if, you know, we all stay healthy and schedules allow everyone to be at practice each day. You know, with these kids doing every activity in these schools, yes, there's some times that they have to miss practice. The toughest thing about this number is getting a quality scrimmage in our practice, a quality 6-on-6 where the level of intensity and competitiveness is raised to where it needs to be. With last year's inexperience with the young players, luckily comes a little more experience with these girls we have coming back in Peyton Hake, Colby Hennis, Tana, and Bailey Cunningham. You know, they were all pretty solid players last year, got a lot of playing time, got a lot of touches and reps. So we're excited to see what they can do this year.
Yeah, Lakeside's going to open their season coming up next Tuesday at Pike Valley at Triangular with Osborne and Pike Valley. So that'll be in Scandia next Tuesday. Like I said, we're going to hope to talk with a few different coaches here this week and then obviously next week as well, as we'll start our locker room chats with football too next week on Wednesday and Thursday. So we'll hear a lot from them and get thoughts on the 2019 fall sports season for our area. And as always, for the latest in local sports, ncksports.com, the place to go. And tune in here to Katy Country 94 and Z96.3 The Lake here in the next few days and weeks ahead.
All right, I left out the most important thing about the Chiefs. The NFL paper football champion is Travis Kelce. Remember paper football?
Yeah.
Remember that? I played it a lot when I was younger in school.
Exactly, and, in school. You'd be bored and you'd be like, let's make a paper
That's
football.
That's what we did. Well, usually a study hall where you had your stuff done and you're like, oh, let's just play paper football. So that's what we did. And Travis Kelce is the champion of paper football in the NFL. So rock on. Maybe that's an omen that the Chiefs will be the champions of the NFL, just like Travis Kelce is the paper football champion of the National Football League. All right, big news, as we talked about yesterday at nauseam, was Andrew Luck retiring. Colt fans, some of them are a little bit upset still, which I guess I do get it. And anybody that's going to be, you know, anybody that's going to sit here and shake their head and say they don't get it, then they haven't really thought about when they're a fan. I mean, just take a second, stop, put yourself in the shoes of other people, all right? Fans are upset. Chiefs fans would be absolutely I mean, talk radio would be lighting up like a Christmas tree across the entire state of Missouri and Kansas and across the country if Patrick Mahomes stepped away from the game today. And don't even sit here and act like you're any better than every other fan, because you're not. Okay? You either would have never done what happened with booing and social media, or you would. It's one or the other. You would or you wouldn't. Simple as that. So you know where you stand. Hopefully you are a good citizen and you wouldn't have booed Patrick Mahomes off the field if that would happen. Hopefully you wouldn't have booed Andrew Luck off the field the other night. And hopefully you wouldn't go on social media and say really hateful or mean things about somebody that you don't know. Hopefully, but only you can answer whether or not you're that type of person or not. All right? So there's been all kinds of, first of all, Colts fans are a little bit upset. And it is understandable. And for people that don't understand that, I don't know how to explain it to you, except if you're a fan, you should know. So Colts fans are seeking a refund, season ticket holders. They want a refund because they've given up on the season, apparently. The only reason they bought season tickets was to watch Andrew Luck play quarterback.
Yeah, forget about the other.
Apparently, the rest of the team stinks. They're a horrible team.
54 players.
Andrew Luck was the only guy. So, first of all, understand it. That's the first reaction, is you're angry. Then eventually you'll move on to acceptance at some point. But also, there's the other flip side of this argument, or not even argument, this point of view, and that is the Colts fans have been extremely spoiled. They've had Peyton Manning, and then they got Andrew Luck. And they had a year where Andrew Luck was out, and Peyton Manning missed a year, and they were really bad without their franchise quarterbacks those 2 years those guys were out. So they've been really, 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 really spoiled. And all of a sudden, oh my gosh, Jacoby Brissett is our quarterback. So it is understandable because there was, and people that are closer to covering the Colts and in Indianapolis, and I have a relation that lives in Indianapolis, okay, you just have to imagine this happening to your NFL team. To understand where fans are coming from, you have to think about what if it happened, if you're a Bronco fan, what if this happened to the Broncos? What if John Elway retired at the age of 29? What if Dan Marino retired at the age of 29? What if Drew Brees, if you're a Saints fan, what if he retired at 29? What about Philip Rivers with the Chargers? Let's keep you go right down the line. What if Patrick Mahomes? We talked about that. What if any quarterback, the best quarterback of all time, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers? He's probably had some reason to hang it up. He's been beat up.
Oh, yeah. He'd be very similar to Andrew Luck if he did it, you know, just the injuries that he's had to deal with.
Right. So you do need to put that in perspective. Having said all that, as we talked about yesterday, it was really gut-wrenching to watch Andrew Luck. His last memory of being on the field was being booed for people that he put his body on the line for, although technically he's playing on the line for the organization. He's getting paid to do that. And so there have been some thoughts. And by the way, those that want to are upset with their season tickets or this or that and want refunds, there's charitable organizations saying, hey, donate them to us, and we'll give them to people that want to go to the games, because that's still NFL football. There are still, you know, 52 other men on the roster. So there have been interesting points of view since Andrew Luck retired. And Steve Berline is a former NFL quarterback. He was a quarterback for 17 years. This guy does know what he's talking about. Okay, he's not some Joe Schmo hiding behind a Twitter handle. Okay, and he's been one of the few I've seen that's been somewhat critical of Andrew Luck. And Steve Berline played 17 seasons in the National Football League. He is now a CBS Sports NFL analyst. And he took to Twitter to express his displeasure of the timing of Luck's retirement. He is of the mindset that because it's so close to regular season, Luck shouldn't have walked away from his team. He says, I'm a huge Andrew Luck fan, always have been, but this I cannot defend or justify. No scenario where retirement is defensible. To do this to his teammates, organization, fans, and NFL 2 weeks before the season is just not right. I love the guy, but this will haunt him. He said, point is, this is a massive decision that he, Andrew Luck, said he had pondered for 10 days. The Colts invested in him for 5 to 10 more years. Go on the IR. Get away for a few weeks. Think about it. Get healthy for the second half of the season. Make a run. Colts are good. If Jacoby goes 4-4, they have a chance. His team needs him to make this run. I know rehab is tough. I had 19 surgeries myself as a player. 8 over 2 years. It sucks, but he owes it to his team. It's just a lower leg injury, and it will heal. Just give it a chance. If it doesn't, walk away at the end of the year. So Berline's biggest thing he's saying is the millions he walked away from affects only him. The decision to walk away just prior to the season affects his team, his organization, his fan base, and the entire NFL. All had invested in him for this year, at least. Walk away after the season. So, and that's what some fans are upset about, is the timing of it. So Steve Berline's entitled to his opinion. I understand where he's coming from. I totally do. And I totally respect the fact that he's gone through a whole bunch of surgeries. It's just that he didn't walk away, and Andrew Luck chose to walk away. Andrew Luck has the right to do that, no question. The timing is not great. It is not ideal. And you can tell the owner and the coach, and especially the GM, seem to be perturbed a little bit at Andrew Luck retiring and quitting. And he did. Retiring is quitting. You're quitting your job. You're retiring. You're retiring from it. So that's interesting. What Steve Berline has to say. I put credence into that instead of Joe Schmo on Twitter saying something. This guy played for many years. He was hurt. He's gone through the rehab process. But he's more of a warrior, per se. He maybe was raised with that mentality that I'm playing no matter what. Maybe he didn't have as much to fall back on, although he is a CBS analyst, smart guy, Steve Berline. Whereas Andrew Luck said, listen, I want to enjoy life. Then there's Doug Baldwin. Doug Baldwin played for the Seattle Seahawks. He walked away from 2 years, $21 million on his contract. He's been hurt a lot the last few years. He's won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks. Here's a quote from Doug Baldwin. This is the flip side of it for Steve Berline to consider. This is what Doug Baldwin said, and I quote, "The perspective is, I have to do what's best for my wife and for my future children, and that comes first. And when you're faced with the decisions of, well, if I continue to do this, what is my health going to be like when my child is born? When my kids are old enough to run around and play, am I going to be able to enjoy that experience and have that experience that I envision in my head? Am I going to be able to do that?" So you come to the proverbial fork in the road, as Andrew Luck said, and you have to make a decision. The decision to play football originally and to put everything into it to accomplish his goals and to get money and all the things, that was somewhat selfish. It's the same thing on this side. It just looks a little bit different. It's all about self-preservation. As I'm trying to articulate it, it's been a challenge. But I think the most important aspect of all of this is that I can look back when I'm 60 years old, I can look back and say that I did everything possible to make sure that I was able to pick up my children when they were born, that I was able to run around with them when they were kids, and to be there for them cognitively when they're older and they need their father to be just not a father, but their friend as they navigate the world of life. Those things have been vitally important to me, and those things take precedence over everything else now. End of quote. How can people be mad about a person doing that? That's exactly what Andrew Luck did. Doug Baldwin put it so eloquently in that statement. Andrew Luck put football first. He put the Indianapolis Colts first for a long time, for at least, what, seven NFL seasons? He decided it's time to take care of me and my family. They got to come first. Dan Le Batard, who has his own show on ESPN, on radio as well. This is really interesting, and I thought people would want to hear this. Here's Dan Le Batard addressing Andrew Luck's decision to retire.
It's an odd thing to say today, given the worship around the Gladiator game, given that football players consider themselves warriors. But sometimes the hardest, bravest thing to do is to quit. What a difficult decision this must have been for Andrew Luck to let down his teammates and supporters and relationships in the building and his city days before another season in battle, to pay literally hundreds of millions of dollars in future earnings to get out of the fight, to throw away his glorious football future and glorious football fame and what has until now been his entire identity before the age of 30. He must have been in a great deal of pain to choose that, and it is fitting that the last act of Colts fans before his retirement was to boo him for deciding it and hurt him yet some more. Football broke his body and mind, and at the very end, his city finalized the transaction by breaking his heart. Andrew Luck seemed to genuinely love football in a way that was uncommon, but that love rotted over a very short time as his body betrayed him. This seems to be more of an indictment of the game than him, so his very last throw as a Colt was to throw it all away. Dak Prescott reportedly turned down $30 million a year. What do you think Luck was going to earn over the next decade? The man made Colts fans not worry about replacing Peyton bleeping Manning. But the hurt and the fear and the unhappiness was enough for Luck that he gave away all sorts of millions and was willing to endure the scorn and shame of teammates and fellow Warriors and angry fans just to make it all go away. Peace of mind, that's what he bought, and at a considerable price. Pieces of his body, that's what he gave, and at a considerable price. But the sports fan is an entitled beast with a conditional love directly proportional to what Luck did for your fantasy team that week. Colts fans booed either Luck or the circumstances, but either way, the last sound Luck felt from the city he always represented with grace was a hostile frustration. Benedict Andrew, he turned his body over to them and the doctors, and they literally chased him off the field with their angry noise and self-interest at the end. Luck was supposed to keep quietly choosing pain for us. He was supposed to keep choosing unhappiness for us. He was supposed to push it all down like a man, maybe even develop an opioid addiction for us. Football's daily rigors screwed up his shoulder, his ankle, his calf, his mind, his joy, and his love of the game. He was supposed to choose the folks booing over his love of wife and life and self and health for us. Colts fans are understandably mad about what could have been as if what could have been wouldn't be in his mind more than theirs on those sleepless nights 10 years from now. It's an odd thing to say, given the worship around the gladiator game, given that football players consider themselves warriors, but sometimes there is great strength in what might look like weakness. What a difficult decision this must have been for Andrew Luck to put down his pride in the middle of the battle and let the arrows descend upon him because it simply hurt too much to continue to fight.
That is one of the best editorials I've heard from a sports talk show person in a very long time. Scott Van Pelt had one not too long ago that was really, really good. I think he nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dan Labatard nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. So, Andrew Luck retired. He could come back. You never know. He might get recouped, might have his mental health back. He might be physically better, and he might say, you know what, I'm going to come back. But I don't know. I got a feeling this is it. He's not going to come back. Do you see him coming back?
I don't. I mean, just the...
Because obviously money's not a dictating factor.
No. And, we've talked about he's smart. Sure. You know, went to Stanford. I'm sure he did a good job of saving his money and setting himself up for life whenever this moment happened. Because you got to understand, too, there could be a moment that would have happened to him that he knows just based on his injury history. Sure. That this would not have been his decision. He would have had to retire.
Yeah.
Like, he wouldn't have had the decision to make.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure he was smart enough to know that and understand. And just the way, I mean, his body language and the way he talked doesn't make me feel like he's coming back.
Yep. But he's at a state right now where he's pretty low.
Exactly.
So that could easily change. All right, so good stuff there, I think, from various points of view. I mean, honestly, it makes me think, and that's why we do this show. I mean, we got Dusty and I agree sometimes. Sometimes we disagree. Sometimes we'll present different angles of thinking to an argument, or not even an argument, or a debate, or just a topic. And to me, that is presenting both sides. I think nowadays in this world, we're so locked into it's got to be one side or the other. I just put together this show today presenting you with two sides. A guy that played in NFL for 17 seasons saying, I don't like Andrew Luck, what he did in regards to the timing, which actually supports some of the Colts fans and what they're saying. Mm-hmm. And this is not a Colt fan, Steve Berline, but he's a fan of Andrew Luck. I think that's important to point out. There are other people, other pro athletes, that have actually supported the fans booing from the standpoint of, hey, I get it. You're emotional. That was a knee-jerk reaction. We do it all the time in sports. We immediately react. We react when we see a post on social media. Everybody's guilty of it. So, and then there's people that are just going nuts and going, that's really bad. And Aaron Rodgers said he thought it was disgusting, which I agree it was, that the booing at the end when Andrew Luck walked off the field. Everybody's got their opinion, but it's interesting because you've got professional athletes that have said, well, I get where the fans are coming from. Others saying that's one of the worst things I've ever seen. And they're all professional athletes. And so, you know, who's wrong, who's right? It's just based on what you feel. That's it. There's no wrong or right. It's just what you feel. And if you think it was really bad, he got booed off the field, so be it. If you think it was really bad, all the cyberbullying, as we called it yesterday, absolutely have a right to that opinion. If you think Andrew Luck is soft, I would disagree with that vehemently. But I guess you have the right to think that he's soft because he didn't, you know, plow through and play until he's 42 like Tom Brady. But it is interesting to get perspective from both sides there, and there was both sides that we presented just a moment ago from an NFL player that used to play quarterback and went through lots of surgeries and rehab, knows what he's talking about, and Dan Labatard, a guy that certainly is tied into the sports beat nationally, and then there's Doug Baldwin, who played in NFL and presents the side of, hey, you know what, at some point you get a little selfish and look at yourself and look at your family and put them first. Good stuff all the way around, in my opinion. Hope you enjoyed that. All right, Les Miles is going to be back on the sidelines for the first time in almost 3 years coming up on Saturday. And Les says, what about his emotions on Saturday?
I've done this before, so there'll be some you know, recall. But I'll enjoy it. I mean, I think it's an honor anytime that you take the field. You represent a really quality football team and a group of men that have really sacrificed to put themselves in position to play really quality football, big time, come after you football. And I think that's what will happen.
10:30 pregame on Z96.3 Lake coming up this Saturday morning, KU against Indiana State. Les Miles, documentary on him over the weekend on ESPN. Brian Haney got some TV time during that piece, I noticed, and he'll be with us coming up Thursday to talk Jayhawk Athletics. Riley Gates coming up in about 5 or 6 minutes here to talk K-State football opener But first, we have a few other things we want to get to because, well, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen in sports. That's one thing I love about sports. It is not predictable. It really isn't. I mean, well, to an extent. You know Alabama, Clemson, and you know the Warriors and the Cavs and LeBron's on the Cavs. Okay, so I get that part. But anyway, last night, the Royals lost 19-4. So what's the story here? Why would we spend any time talking about a Royals getting pasted 19-4? Take a listen.
Chapman drives one left center, hit well, and that baby's gone. Chapman takes Gordon deep, and it's 16-3, and that is home run number 30. His teammates are going to tell him it's home run number 29 and a half.
Tom Gordon's back? Flash is back with the Royals? Who would have thunk it? I know the Royals are pretty desperate for pitching, but they pulled up Tom Gordon. That's D. Gordon's dad. D. Gordon's still in the league. Oh, Alex Gordon pitched last night? Let me tell you, in the seventh inning, they start talking about it in the fifth inning? Wow, things went bad in a hurry, didn't it? Why, yes, it did. Brad Keller lasts the inning in a third. That's one way to keep your innings limit down.
Yes, he did a good job of that last night.
He retired the first four batters, looked great. Next thing you know, it all fell apart. And then Jorge Lopez comes in, and he was not good. Ned Yost talks about Alex Gordon on the mound.
Alex has been asking me to pitch for 10 years. I figured, what the heck? He did great to the point where, my mindset was I was going to let out. I was going to, make a dream come true for Alex and pitch him one inning and then go already two. But he threw the ball well the first inning and, relatively quick. And I'm like, okay, you can go back out second time. Just don't get stupid and say he wouldn't.
All right, so here's Gordon. He's been begging for 10 years. Gordon refutes that. Listen closely. Here's about a three-minute interview, Alex Gordon talking about his pitching debut last night. It's pretty good stuff.
I don't think I've been begging him 10 years. I did a little bit this year, just offering my service to come in and pitch. And tonight was kind of that situation where bullpen was kind of beat up. And it's just one of those games where... we just got put in that situation. So they asked me, and I actually asked them, and then they said it was okay. So they just, be smart about it. Don't do anything stupid, and that's what I try to do.
When did you ask him, in the sixth inning or fifth?
I think I asked Dale in the fifth inning. We started talking about it, and they gave me a heads up. And I think it was the seventh inning I came in,
yeah.
And they gave me, two innings to get ready, so...
The obvious question is, when was the last time you stepped on the mound?
College summer baseball, I think it was after my freshman year. It was kind of the same situation. I was begging the coach to let me pitch, and he let me throw a little bit, but it was good. I just wanted to throw strikes. I didn't want to walk anybody, and unfortunately, I walked some guy at the end, but... I felt good.
Did the A's say anything to you?
I laughed at Chapman. I don't know why, but everyone was telling me to throw a changeup, and every time I threw a changeup, they crushed it. So I should have just stuck to my fastball or my sinker, whatever it was. But the first changeup I threw was Chapman, and obviously he did that. So I was kind of laughing at him around the bases. So
did he respond?
He smiled back at me. I think he didn't really want to maybe show me up or anything, but I was trying to joke around with them. So he's a good hitter, and I knew when he was coming up I was a little nervous just because the type of player he is and the kind of season he's having. I knew it was going to be maybe trouble.
When you say they gave you a couple innings to get ready, what'd you do to get ready for?
I just threw in the cage. I just try to find my arm slot. I know kind of dropping down a little bit, I was able to throw strikes. Just more comfortable for me that way, and actually my ball kind of ran and sunk a little bit, so it made it maybe a little bit harder for the hitters to hit, but I just wanted to throw strikes.
Statcast kept showing it as a slider, but it was just...
I had a slider working the second inning. I think against Simeon a little bit, started working a little bit better, so I was trying to go both ways, slider to the first base side and sinkers to the third base side, so I think if I would have went one more inning, I might have had to punch out.
You think you were getting squeezed at all?
Nah. I thought I was kind of out there, and then you go look at the replay, and it wasn't close, so... I did think I was throwing a lot harder than I was. I looked up and I thought I was throwing 88, and it was 81, 82, and I was a little depressed over that. But like I said, I just wanted to throw strikes and help the team out. So
I like that part. I thought Amps throwing 88. 81, 82. That's kind of depressing. Depressing night for the Royals, but that was kind of fun.
That was the least depressing part of it, unfortunately. Usually when you get a position player going in there, that's very depressing.
Gordon ending in a third, and then Ortega comes in and gets out of a jam and pitches the rest of the game. Not very often you see two position players.
I wanted to know how the last time two position players pitched in one game.
Well, do you want to hear a really crazy note? Of course, when you think Alex Gordon, you think Babe Ruth, right?
Yeah.
Alex Gordon is the first player to start as a cleanup hitter and come in to throw multiple innings of relief during a single game since Babe Ruth, July 30th, 1919. Yeah. Gordon, an inning and a third, five hits, three runs, only walked one, but no punch-outs, no strikeouts. Did give up a bomb to Chapman, 447 feet. So now you can finally put Alex Gordon into the same category as Babe Ruth. It took a while, but Gordon finally accomplished it. He has finally lived up to the hype of that draft pick back out of Lincoln, Nebraska. Good stuff. All right, we end with this before we go to Riley Gates. I thought this was really good stuff. I am not a huge fan of Nick Saban sometimes and what he has to say, but I do respect him, and I do respect some of the things he says, or respect most of the things he says. And yes, I know he has a bias. He's going to take care of Alabama, but this has nothing to do with Alabama when you hear this. And Max and I talked about this back when we were talking about KU and Puka Williams situation. And every mistake is different, by the way. It depends on the levity and the nature of the mistake. I mean, if an athlete goes out and murders someone, I don't think there's going to be a second chance. You know, if an athlete goes out and rapes someone, I don't think there's going to be a second chance. But there are, you know, if you went and you shoplifted, I think you could probably have a second chance. If you were busted for possession of marijuana, I think there probably should be second chances. We could go on to all kinds of examples. But here's Nick Saban addressing the media about second chances. And if Max is listening, it's exactly what him and I were talking about a month or so ago when Puka Williams' situation came up with Kansas.
There's always a lot of criticism out there when somebody does something wrong. Everybody wants to know, how you going to punish the guy? All right, but there's not enough for 19 and 20-year-old kids, people out there saying, why don't you give them another chance? All right, so I'm going to give a speech right now about this. Like, where do you want them to be? Guy makes a mistake. Where do you want him to be? You want him to be in the street? Or do you want him to be here graduating? You know, when I was over there at the Nagurski, Mohsin Muhammad, who played 15 years for the Carolina Panthers, played for me at Michigan State. Everybody in the school, every newspaper guy, everybody was killing a guy because he got in trouble and said there's no way he should be on our team. I didn't kick him off the team. I suspended him. I made him do stuff. He graduated from Michigan State. He played 15 years in the league. All right, he's a president of a company now. And he has seven children, and his oldest daughter goes to Princeton. So who was right? I feel strong about this now, really strong. All right, about all the criticism out there of every guy that's 19 years old that makes a mistake, and you all kill him. And then some people won't stand up for him. So my question to you is, where do you want them to be? You want to condemn them to a life sentence? Or do you want the guy to have his children going to Princeton?
Excellent food for thought coming from perhaps the greatest college football coach in the history of the game. Perhaps. Nick Saban. Stuff to chew on, because we're all guilty. I know Dustin and I are guilty of it. We kind of jump and we forget these young people are 18, 17, 19, 20 years old, make mistakes, and a lot of people do. They just want to vilify them, and they want to throw them behind bars and all this other stuff. Sometimes it's not for anything as major as some people might think. You know, odds are everybody in life has had a second chance at something. He makes a really good point, and I thought it was appropriate. Since Max and I talked about it not too long ago, hopefully Max heard that, and you can think about it. It is okay to have a second chance, but it does depend on the nature of the mistake, no question about that.